our hands, or whatever it might be, it can help us to come back to that which is worship. You see, worship is focusing on God. So whatever it is that helps you to do that, do that. And don't worry about anyone else. That was the awesome part of being part of the Westside Church. I'd been in worship services before where there was lots of movement, but if you weren't one of those who were moving, everybody else was kind of going, like, why aren't you getting with the program? Why aren't you moving? But in that church, it didn't matter. And you could have four people worshiping side by side who were all doing physically something different, and yet it was obvious they were all worshiping because their focus was on God, not on what somebody else was doing. Not on what somebody else was doing. You see, we make choices to enter in to worship. We make choices to enter in. Second question that we want to look at this morning is, what's the objective of worship? What's the objective of worship? The objective of our worship is to magnify God. That is why worship cannot happen in a life that is not surrendered to God. We magnify our either God or ourselves by the way we live our lives. You see, worship is not just about Sunday morning. Worship is about how we live life. Our objective is to magnify God. Psalm 34, verse 3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And in a worship service, when we come together, we can do that through offering. And as we take the offering later on this morning, we're just going to remind you that this is worship. Now, some of you are like me, where you get paid twice a month, and so I give an offering twice a month. So you're not putting something in the offering every Sunday. So when you're on one of those Sundays where you're not giving an offering, I encourage you to think and to pray about the needs of the church, the needs of our international workers, the needs of our school, the places that our funds go. And worship as the offering is being taken, even if you're not putting something in the basket that morning. And if it feels like the only way you can worship is to put something in the basket, then cut your offering, your bi-monthly offering in half, and give a little bit every Sunday. Give half every Sunday. But what is it that helps you to worship? Again, the reminder that the Ten Commandments start with the fact that our focus needs to be on God. Actions that come from someone whose life is not surrendered to Jesus can't really be worship. You see, that's where it starts. It starts with our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we have not come to the place where we've confessed our sin, asked him to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us, as the scripture says, from all unrighteousness, and yield our life to him, it's pretty difficult to worship. It's really impossible to worship. Our team puts up a countdown clock 5 minutes before the start of the service. And I was thinking about that over the last couple Sundays as I've been preparing to this. And as I go through this next part, please don't feel as though I'm picking on anyone in particular, because I know what that feels like. We were when we were going to Westside, we worked very hard to get there on time. But we had a Sunday morning when, and we had small children, and many people here have small children, and we were just walking out the door. And there was an eruption from one of our children that messed everything up. And complete changes of clothing for both daughter and mother had to take place. And we were late walking into church. And our pastor happened to notice it. And actually, in a visit a couple of weeks later, just mentioned to us how, you know, we really needed to make sure that we were there at church on time. And that's something that we worked at really hard, and it hurt a little bit. And so please don't take this that way, because most of the time, most of you are here on time. But think of it this way. When you go to a wedding, how many people walk in 5 minutes after the wedding has started. It almost never happens. Matter of fact, many weddings, if you know that the wedding is fairly large and the facility is not, people are there a half an hour or more so they can get a good seat for the wedding. And everyone wants to make sure that they're in their seats before the groom walks out to the front, because when the groom appears, you know the bride is next. And everybody wants to be there for that. The scripture pictures us as the bride of Christ, and we are coming to worship the groom. So why wouldn't we want to be ready when he is? And I know what Sunday mornings are like. They're like that for me because of all the things that are going on. And I need a couple of minutes at least to set that aside and to get my heart ready to worship. And so I just encourage you to think of it that way. And even those of you who have children, it's an awesome teaching point for your children. It's a discussion that we had with our kids at one time about why do we always want to get there so early, besides the fact that Dad has to preach that morning. And Deborah just very clearly taught them that, hey, we're coming here because we're coming to worship Jesus, and we want to be ready to do that as soon as the service starts. We don't want to have to, during the first couple of songs, be thinking about something else and getting rid of that baggage. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, it's the passage just before the Lord's Prayer. It's actually a passage on giving and on the Pharisees and on the way in which they gave, where they would bring their offering and they would offer it in front of everybody so everybody could see how wonderful they were and how big their offering was. And Jesus, in teaching that, says, no, we're not to give in that way. We're not to do things in church to impress somebody else. We're not to be early to impress somebody else. We're not to raise our hands to impress somebody else. We're not to bring our offering in a large bag of loonies so that it makes a big sound when we drop it into the offering plate to impress somebody else. We're here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. See, worship realigns my heart with God's heart. When I am focused on Him and on His Word, on His truth, on His love for me, then that realigns my heart so that I'm looking at the rest of life in a much better way. Thirdly, what are the benefits of worship? Now, we live in a world that very often asks the question, what's in it for me? And that's the wrong question to ask. And yet, we need to realize that any time God asks us to do something, He's asking us to do it for our good as well as for the good of the kingdom. He's asking us to do it for our good. Even the difficult things, even the hard things, build a relationship with Him. So what, as we worship with our hearts and our minds focused and fixed on Him, what are some of the benefits? What are some of the things that happen for us? Well, the first thing is that the church grows stronger through worship. The church grows stronger through worship. Why? Because worship realigns my heart with God's heart. And if we come with an attitude ready to worship, rather than just Sunday morning as a, okay, we need to put in my hour, hour and a half, however long it takes, and our hearts are realigned, we're stronger as a church. We can disrupt the church through worship. I think I may have shared this story before and just give you the Reader's Digest conversion, but there was a couple in one of the churches that I was pastoring that didn't like the newer music. And whenever our youth leader led the worship team, they would sit down during singing with their arms crossed like this, and everybody knew they were unhappy. We had a discussion, we worked some things through, and they came back to the focus that they were there to worship God, not to pick the music. And so on the Sunday that they first began to change things, and they stood up and they sang, the first thing was a shock. You could almost feel a shockwave go through parts of the congregation. But the other part of it was there was just a release of tension, and the church was stronger because now we were all on board on the same page. We were all on board the same page. Because they chose to worship, even if it was something that they didn't particularly like, it wasn't their style, but they focused on God instead of style. And that helped the church grow stronger. Worship also gives us power to live on. In 1948, a dam was built in Tennessee, which created Watauga Lake. It buried the old community of Butler, Tennessee. In 1983, many years later, the water had to be lowered to repair the dam, and thousands of people came back to wade through the mud where their house once stood to see if there was anything that they had missed from the past. And they were there to relive memories of the old town. One of the things that as we read through Scripture, through both the Old and the New Testament, is we're continually told to remember, to remember, to remember, to remember, to remember. Not to live in the past, but to remember what God's done in the past. And when we come and worship together, and when we sing songs about God's love and God's mercy and God's grace, the Spirit often reminds us of those circumstances in which that happened. And that encourages us for the coming week. We can also experience personal growth through that. I've been at a church service, and there was something that happened in my life that had me greatly, greatly discouraged, wondering if God had really called me to do what I was doing. And I went to a worship service that I didn't have to lead, I didn't have to be a part of, I was just a part of the congregation. And God just spoke to me powerfully through that service, through both the music and the preaching that morning, that got me back on track. You see, when we come expecting God to do something, and when we come with our hearts and our minds focused on Him, we can experience that personal growth. Calvin Coolidge said this, "It is only when men begin to worship that they begin to grow." That's from someone who's very famous as a secular leader. And yet, we grow as we worship. Our personal time with God needs to include worship. Not just reading our Bible and praying in a list of prayers, but worship. Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, begins with worship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You can tell I memorized it in the King James English. That is the beginning of our time with God, is to be worship. We can also experience fulfillment. Ray Ortland puts it this way, "Worship is the highest and noblest act that any person can do. When men worship, God is satisfied. When you worship, you are filled." Think about this. Why did Jesus Christ come? He came to make worshipers out of rebels. We were once self-centered, and we had to be completely changed so that we can shift our attention outside of ourselves and become able to worship. And we see that so much in the society in which we live. We live in a society that's so self-centered, Worship takes us out of that. Worship realigns our hearts with God's heart. Because God's heart is for us, is all about blessing us, growing us, bringing joy and abundance into our life. Jesus says, "I came that they might have life and that they might have it not bad." Is that what he said?
No.
I came that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. Abundantly. But worship needs to be a part of that so that our hearts are realigned with God's heart. Finally, we will be stimulated. If we ignore worship as part of our personal time with God, then really Bible reading and prayer can become very boring because it's an activity to do rather than a relationship to be built. Worship is all about relationship, about being in relationship with this God who loves us. If we come to a worship service and focus on what we don't like or what someone else is doing and never open our hearts to the Spirit, then church becomes a chore. Worship realigns my heart with God's heart. Have you ever really thought about why you're here? Have you given any thought to why we worship? Worship will not happen unless we have placed Jesus first in our lives. Worship is the outflow of a life that is lived for Jesus. Did you come today to worship? Do you believe that worship realigns your heart with God's heart? And that Sunday morning isn't the only time to do that. If you're waiting for Sunday morning, probably by Tuesday or Wednesday, the alignment's not going very well. And if you've ever driven a car where the wheels are badly out of alignment, you know what a pain that is. And what it must it be like for the Holy Spirit to be trying to steer and to guide us sometimes when God's heart is pointing that way and our heart is pointing that way. But when we worship, they come back into alignment. And now the Spirit can guide. Now the Spirit can work. If you find you cannot worship, maybe there's something in your life that you need to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to give you an opportunity today. That's why we didn't do all of the singing that we normally do before the message. That's why we didn't have the offering before the message. We're going to do some more singing. We're going to take the offering. We're going to pray together as we close. We're going to worship together. My prayer is that you've been worshiping through this sermon, because the easiest way to worship through a sermon is to say, okay, God, what's in it for me? One of the things I find sometimes, and I've been absolutely guilty of this, is that we play basketball with the sermon. And what I mean by that is the preacher says something, the idea comes our way, we catch it and we go, wow, that's awesome. Here, Jim, this one's for you. And then we catch the next one and we fire it over to Lonnie instead. And we never let it land where the Holy Spirit was trying to get it to land. And so what's God saying to you this morning? Perhaps this morning, God's asking you to sing in a way that you've never sung before. When I was part of the church in Invermere, one of the guys who was on our board by the name of Roger, he's a great guy, big guy, little taller than I am, a little heavier, big guy, booming voice, couldn't sing worth a lick. He was tone deaf. He was horrible. You would never ask him to sing in a choir or a quartet or anything like that. But it was fun to stand in front of him during worship because his heart overflowed as he sang. And he sang it all wrong, and it didn't bother anybody, at least anybody who was actually worshiping. And he actually shared his testimony one time, and he mentioned that, and he goes, you know why I sing so loud? Because I have to. I have to express this to my God. If you're not comfortable that way, then sing quietly, but sing. Because there's something about opening our mouths and actually letting the words come out that just make them more real than if we silently do it. The song that we started with this morning is a song I'm not very familiar with. And we went through the first part, and I'm trying to catch the tune and the words, and then I have to sing even if I don't know where I'm going, because it's just not the same if it's just in my mind instead of coming out of my mouth. God built us to do certain things for a reason, and singing and movement and worship is part of it. So try it. If there's a song, and I haven't looked at this closely, if there's a song that you want to clap on, go ahead and clap. If you want to raise your hands, one of the things I promise you is that if you've never raised your hands and you bring them up to here, it won't hurt. At least not much. At least not much. But see where God might take you. And if, in whatever way you've already been doing it, you can fully enter into the spirit of worship, then don't change a thing. It's fine. You don't have to do that. But let the Spirit speak to you about how worship is going, how worship, whether you're really able to worship, and whether it is realigning your heart with God. And if it's not, try something different. Try something different. It might be confession, it might be movement, it might be singing louder, it might be I don't know what. But just listen to the Spirit and follow his leading, guiding. Let me pray, then I'm going to ask the team to come back, and we're going to continue to worship. Father, thank you that worship is not about performance. You're not sitting there with a clipboard marking us out of 10 on our performance. Lord, it's not about what we do, but it's about the attitude of heart that we do it with. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, if there's something that can help us as individuals or as a congregation to help us with the attitude of our heart, something that we can do physically, something that we can do different, Lord, just give us that guidance. And if not, then that's fine too. Lord, may our hearts and our minds and our spirits be focused on you. Father, we love you. Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross and rising again. Holy Spirit, we want to be led by you. Lord Jesus, we are here to worship.